Welcome to Simple Wins, the show where we talk to the architects behind the most successful B2B firms. And we're currently in the middle of a massive project curating the 2026 B2B benchmark. And we're looking for the high-level strategies that actually work in today's market. And I knew I had to get Dusty Wise on the mic to help us set the standard. Dusty is the president and founder of Podcast Media, an award-winning podcast production studio in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. And I am so excited to have him here because he is also nominated as the best indie podcast host at this year's Podcast Academy Awards for his work on The Lead Balloon, a show about marketing, brands, and how we communicate with one another. So Dusty, a big welcome to the show. I am so excited to have you here.
Adam, thank you so much for the invite. I'm happy to be here.
So you do podcasting, and I am so curious to know about this because one of the things that it comes to podcasting is storytelling. So let's go into storytelling a little bit. What would you say is the secret to having a compelling story?
Well, if I go back to script writing class from film school back in undergrad, you know, they teach you that what you need for a good story is you need compelling characters, you need conflict, you need building action, and then resolution. Now, if you're writing a Hollywood blockbuster, having all of those things, it comes pretty naturally, right? You don't have a Hollywood blockbuster without those things. But when you're doing B2B communications, when you're doing top of funnel lead generation for folks, characters, conflict, building action, and resolution, they look a lot different. There's not as many explosions in what we do. Not usually. Anyway, we've certainly found some ways to incorporate some interesting action into what we do. But I think it really all comes down to characters. And the most successful projects that we've worked on at Podcamp Media are the ones where the client approaches us and says, you are going to love meeting our CEO. This guy, this gal, they have got stories. They can just sit back and hold court and spin yarns for hours at a time. I like to think that a good podcast in the B2B space looks and feels and sounds almost exactly like the best happy hour that you've ever been to with your colleagues.
I love that. And let me know a little something about that, because when you talk about the B2B podcast, which is obviously our community's old B2B guys, I feel like some of them are a little nervous about kind of jumping on the mic, especially hosting a podcast, because it might feel stiff, right? Like they don't know necessarily what questions to ask or how to kind of go back and forth and have that story kind of shine through. How would you kind of say somebody who might be new or considering getting into podcasting kind of break through that?
It's almost kind of like getting out of your own way and getting out of your own head about it. Like everybody who is a business leader knows what it's like to have a conversation. They know what it's like to meet someone new, to network. If we stopped calling it podcasting and just started calling it networking while recording, I feel like it would come a lot more naturally to people, because that's what it is at the end of the day. And so being confident that you're able to network, but also being confident in knowing that you have interesting stories to tell, that you can talk to your listeners in a language that nobody else is speaking to them in, and then just being yourself. We're in a media era now where there has been a really sharp sea change away from this sort of polished, flawless scion that CEOs and business leaders are expected to be. There's a space for you to go out there and be a person that has flaws, that has blemishes, but still is honest about who you are and still passionate about the work that you're doing. And so the sooner that you accept that you don't have to be perfect to be a podcast host, to be someone who's on camera and on mic and representing the brand, and you just have to be yourself and represent the company that you're representing well, the sooner that you're going to fall more naturally into that role of podcast host.
I love that. Networking while recording. I thought that was fantastic because that's exactly what it is. It's so funny because especially when you watch the comedian podcast, right? Like, I mean, they do it right, right? Like they're going ahead. They're just having fun with it. And it's interesting when you're saying that networking while recording, I think that becomes easier for somebody to understand. And I guess a question then would be, when somebody is going ahead and they are having this kind of networking experience, how do they go about making sure that they tell a consistent story during that episode, right? Because obviously it can become easy to get lost in the way. But what type of structure have you seen work really, really well for podcasts?
First of all, I really, really gets my goat, Adam, when somebody comes in and says, oh, podcasting, that's easy. You just press record and you start talking and then you have a podcast when you're done with it. Because that absolutely misses the entire point. If you're a sports fan, if you're a football fan, a basketball fan, a soccer fan, you don't expect your team to go out and just take the field and just improv while they're out on the field. They need to practice. They need a game plan. They need a coach. And that's where we really start the process of producing a podcast, is putting in the reps to get the outline built ahead of time. And I'm not saying a script. I want to be really, really clear about that, because podcasts that are over scripted are just as unlistenable as podcasts that aren't scripted at all. But you need to sit down with a team and think strategically about what notes you want to hit during the course of your improvised jazz solo. If a podcast is an improvised jazz solo, you still want to make sure that you're in the right key. And so we sit down and we chart out essentially a very, very loose outline of the points that we want to hit. It's not a roadmap to get where you're going, to mix my metaphors a little bit. It's not a roadmap, but it's definitely a list of the signposts that you want to go past on your way to it. And then very often that outline gets thrown out within about the first 5 to 10 minutes in the course of a conversation. But that's half the fun anyway. As long as you know where you're taking the conversation, you're going to hit those points and you're going to tell a consistent story from episode to episode, guest to guest.
I love that. And we call this show Simple Wins because the best experts usually have the simplest solutions. What would you say is your signature simple win, that one tweak somebody could implement this week to start seeing results?
I would say get out there with something authentic. Look for that blue ocean theory. There are a lot of podcasts that are out there about marketing. The podcast that we host, Lead Balloon, is unlike any other marketing podcast that's out there because it's not necessarily a talking heads podcast. It's a storytelling podcast. That was an angle that a lot of marketing podcasts weren't doing. And frankly, there was a lot of blue ocean space out there. And so before you ever press record, before you ever draw up a podcast logo, before you name your podcast, you need to be out there doing the research, looking to see what your peers are doing. Because there are a lot of other podcasts out there. Chart out the space that they have colonized and then find a space where somebody's not doing anything and do that thing. Make sure that you're serving the audience that you want to serve. But if you're talking to them in a language that nobody else is, in a space where nobody else is filling that void, you're going to succeed every time in podcasting.
Let's go. That's awesome. And I love it when people call out fluff. So what would you say is your one golden rule in your industry that most people think is essential, but you've proven is just a huge waste of time?
Quantity is not quality. I will stand up on a soapbox and bang this drum until I'm blue in the face. But there seems to be a mistake in the podcasting world where so many people who are coaches in this space say that the best way to get ahead in podcasting is just to make as much material as quickly as you can without regard for the quality of material. And I'll tell you point blank that about half of the footage that I've ever recorded has ended up on the cutting room floor, right? Just because you recorded it doesn't mean that it's the best use of your audience's time. And so I push back against that notion that quantity is the way to get ahead in podcasting. I say, double down on quality. Spend the extra time doing the edit. Take a podcast interview that started out being 60 minutes long, cut away 30 minutes of fluff, and just leave the 30 best minutes. Your listeners will see that, hear that, they will respect it, and they will come back for more because you gave them more. You gave them a better listening experience than the other folks that aren't out there right now.
Absolutely, 100%. And I guess a question just about that, because you started talking about the cutting and kind of bringing that down. How have you seen the best way to go ahead and promote the podcast, right? So once somebody's gone ahead and recorded that episode, what have you seen is the best way for somebody to go ahead and start getting new listeners? Because it's one thing to tell a story, but it's another to have the right audience listening to that story.
My gosh. I mean, this could be an entire podcast episode in and of itself. Finding new listeners is probably the biggest chore in podcasting right now, because unfortunately, it's not the field of dreams. If you build it, they might not necessarily come. But definitely start by putting your best foot forward and then slowly start inviting people in. Going through your guests' networks is a great way to get a foothold. If you're having guests on who are serving your audience is naturally going to come to them. So if you can get them to reshare on their networks, that's certainly a strong way forward. You've got to meet people where they are. And so paid social media is still one of the best ways to get in front of people, but it's not always going to work, because you also, if you're trying to get somebody to listen to a podcast and they're scrolling through Instagram, they might want to, in fact, they probably want to keep scrolling on Instagram. They're not ready to switch over to a podcast. And so a lot of the smaller podcast apps that are out there offer you the opportunity to pay to sponsor your podcast to users of the app. In other words, people who aren't scrolling through Instagram, people who are scrolling through a podcast app looking for something to listen to. At that point, you've already got them like 2/3 of the way through the funnel. All they have to do is see your ad and tap to listen in the podcast app. So that's a really, really strong way to promote a podcast that a lot of people miss out on. And unfortunately, because it can be a little bit pricier than simple pay-per-click advertising. But those are sort of the first three steps that I tell people to look at. And then after that, get creative. Spend some time going to conferences in your industry. Introduce yourself as the host of a podcast. And if you can land it, find a speaking gig as the host of that podcast. Get out and tell people about the work that you're doing.
That's a great advice. Really, really good advice. And if you could just snap your fingers and give your clients a massive competitive edge this year, what would that one transformation you'd like to see every single one of them achieve?
I mean, who doesn't want to give their client a viral lightning bolt, right? One of the most frustrating things about running an agency is that everybody who comes to you says, hey, we want to make XYZ and we think it's going to be great and we want it to go viral. And unfortunately, virality is not something that can be commoditized and sold, honestly. Now, there are all sorts of bot farms and things like that that can manufacture the appearance of virality. But when you're able to give a client who's been making a podcast for many, many dozens of episodes, and they finally land that viral lightning bolt where through SEO, through the quality of their content, and through sheer dumb luck, whatever's happening inside that opaque machine that we all want to gamify, they actually land that viral success. Oh my gosh, that's the best feeling in the world. That's so much fun. But unfortunately, short of having a magic wand or being able to snap your fingers, there's not a way that you can guarantee that happening. All you can do is stack the odds as much in your favor as you can.
Incredible. Dusty, where can people go to learn more about you?
They can check out podcampmedia.com/leadballoon to check out the Lead Balloon podcast, see some of the adventures that we've had there. And of course, Podcamp Media on LinkedIn or Dusty Weiss on LinkedIn. Great places to start. We're on all the other social media as well, but who needs more social media in their life at this point? LinkedIn's where it's at.
Let's go. I love LinkedIn. Dusty, thank you so much for being here. I had such a good time with you.
I appreciate the invite. Thank you, Adam.
Absolutely. Everyone, thank you so much for listening. And seriously, if you are thinking about starting a podcast, click on the link in the description. Give Dusty a visit, because what they are doing over there is outstanding. And he sent me a video. Oh my goodness, it's crazy. He actually did a podcast while flying on a fighter jet. Okay, so this guy knows podcasting up in the air, down on the ground. He knows it all around. So make sure to go click on that link in the description. Thank you, everyone, for listening. And I will see you on the next episode.